Robert Steak, and I'm a sports writer back in Dayton.
Hello, how are you doing?
All right. I wanted to talk to you a little bit. First, just how are you doing?
I'm doing absolutely outstanding, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. Hey, I'm wondering, are the games have just about wrapped up now?
Yeah, they're just about wrapped up. We have one last volleyball game today.
And I don't know if the experience for you has been what it's been like for you, and if it's been even more than you imagined, or just tell me a little bit how it's been.
Well, it's been absolutely life-changing for me. It's actually put me back into athletics again,
mm-hmm.
and it's been an amazing experience. Everybody here is very great, and you know, the camaraderie here between the services is amazing.
You, this has been a real since you discovered this or got into this, a real uplift for your life again, right?
Yes, sir.
It's what all did you compete in?
I did swimming, all the swimming events, and I also did the shot put.
Shot put. You came in third in the shot, right?
Yes, I medal bronze.
Okay. And the swimming, what happened in the swimming?
I didn't medal, but I did meet my personal record, and I went from eighth place to sixth place, so I was pretty excited about that.
Mm-hmm. And the shot, you have to be pleased with that, right?
Yes, I placed that. I placed third out of shot put.
Is that the best you've ever done, distance wise?
Yes, it is.
Now, were you an athlete back here in Dayton, or?
I did do shot put and discus in high school, but I only did it for a few track meets.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go to high school?
Walter E. Stebbins High School.
Stebbins, oh, okay, yeah, I know Stebbins.
Yeah.
Did you Now, was anybody, I don't know if anybody was out there, did you have any family or friends or anybody out there watching you compete, or it was just fellow Marines or what?
My mother and my sister actually flew out to come see me.
Really? Oh, good. And what's your mother's name and your sister's name?
My mother's name is Suzy Wright, S-U-Z-I.
S-U-Z-I, W-R-I-G-H-T?
Yes, sir.
And your sister?
It's Crystal, K-R-I-S-T-A-L. Her last name is Marquis, M-A-R-Q-U-I-S.
Q-U-I-S, okay. And just tell me, I want to talk to you a little bit about your Dayton background and then getting into the Marines and then competing here, and then that'll be the kind of what I want to do. I'm writing this for next Sunday. It's going to be a big story for next Sunday.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit. You grew up where in Dayton, and
I grew up in Riverside, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And I went to Walter E. Stebbins High School, of course. And I was pretty heavily involved with Air Force Junior ROTC.
Uh-huh.
Senior Master Sergeant John Norman is actually the reason why I joined the military. He was very influential to all of us. I was on the Red Beret drill team. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they've, you know.
Where are they, out of the base or out of Stebbins?
Out of Stebbins, yes.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty big. We went to Nationals a few times. And
all right, I know of them then, right?
We were state champions. I think we're still state champions, actually. We've been for a while, but.
What drew you to even to ROTC, and I mean, was your family military, or just because I know Stebbins is out there not too far from the base, or what kind of got you first involved in that direction?
The first thing really was, you know, just hearing about the drill team and how well that they were doing, and
right.
I thought it might be something positive to join, so
uh-huh.
I joined it, and I fell in love with it, and I did it all 4 years, every single meet I was at, and it really led me in the right direction and kept me out of trouble.
Uh-huh. And so then, once you graduate high school, did you go straight into the Marines then, or?
I did take a year off to kind of figure out what I wanted to do. I had always wanted to join the service, but I think that I was too scared to at first. I didn't know how to take the first initial step, and then one day I just woke up and I said I was just going to go out and do it and get my life together, and I left for boot camp about 4 days later.
Wow. That year off, what did you do during that year off?
I worked at Advanced Cardiology in Englewood.
Advanced Cardiology in Englewood, okay. So then, and what did you do there?
I was a receptionist.
Okay. Ashley, what a big switch. I mean, one day you're a receptionist and the next day you're in Marine boot camp?
Yes, absolutely.
What was that switch like?
It was definitely a big transition for sure. The Marine Corps changed my life in a direction that I would never have even imagined it going.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely put me on the right track. Not that I was on the wrong track before, but just
right.
It kind of got some stability in my life.
So you joined the service. What was the date or what year was this we're talking about?
I joined November 1st of 2004.
November 1st of 2004. Okay, you go to boot camp, and then just take me along your career here a little bit.
Okay, I went to boot camp, and then I got to Camp Pendleton, I went to school first in 29 Palms, California.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Communications Electronics School to be a field radio operator.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I got done with school, I got stationed in Camp Pendleton, California.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for, I would say, probably about 6 months before I got moved to 29 Palms, California, where I was a role player for it's a group called Mojave Viper.
Right.
And basically we train Marines to go to, at that time, Iraq. And basically it was like simulation lanes and
right.
stuff like that to,
mm-hmm.
to simulate what these Marines were going to go through. And
mm-hmm.
after that 6 months was up, I went back to California.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I'm not sure exactly what month, but in 2006 I deployed to my first deployment to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was injured kind of late in that deployment.
In Baghdad? You were in Baghdad when you were injured?
Yes, sir.
And can you tell, you were hit by an IED or what? Tell me exactly what happened there.
Sure. We were on a supply convoy, and we were coming out of Baghdad but on our way back to Fallujah.
Mm-hmm.
And my vehicle was hit by an IED.
Wow. And what happened to you? I mean, were you thrown out or in it, or what exactly happened?
I was in the vehicle, and I was knocked unconscious, and in the blast, it ruined the vehicle, so I had to be pulled out of the turret.
Mm-hmm.
And once they dropped me to the side of the vehicle, I ended up coming to, and basically the docs and stuff looked at me and put me back in the vehicle, and we drove back to base.
Wow.
There was a need for me to be medevac at the time. They weren't sure. They didn't think my injury was as severe as it actually was at the time. So until I actually got back. So.
Were other people hurt when this IED went off?
It was pretty much everybody was just shooken up, and there was a little bit of shrapnel that went into the front of the vehicle into the driver, but it actually never made skin on skin contact. It just went through. The layers of clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a
and
blessing.
When I mean, you took a real blow to the head, suffered a head injury, right? Or just tell me when you started to realize there was and they realized this is really serious, and what happened next?
Well, soon after I started to realize something was wrong, but and I went to medical and started getting seen by the concussion clinic as soon as I got back.
Mm-hmm.
My accident happened in November, and I didn't actually get back from Iraq until February. So, really, I was trying so hard to pretend that nothing was wrong.
So that whole time from November to February, you're just back on duty again and just...
Yes, sir. I stayed in Iraq, and I stayed doing convoys as well. And
okay.
I knew something was wrong because I was having trouble with my speech.
Right.
And I was, you know, getting sick a lot, and, you know, the symptoms of a concussion.
Right.
And I just didn't feel well, and it kind of affected my work a little bit more than expected. But I think as Marines especially, we like to, you know, keep the ball rolling and suppress all of those symptoms for
right.
as long as you can to get the job done.
Right. Well, when did you realize, hey, this is bigger than that, and I, you know, there's something the matter here. I got to deal with this.
Well, I came home, and I had an MRI done as soon as, because I started getting seen by the concussion clinic, and I had an MRI done, and
mm-hmm.
that's when they found the brain damage on the left side of my brain.
And so, what happens next, and what do you do? How do you cope with this, and how do you treat it?
Well, my way of coping was actually not the same way as everybody else. There was a deployment slot open, and I decided to take that slot. And it was kind of my fault. I really wanted to get back over in country. I kind of had this this mindset that, you know, I was doing some good over there, so I definitely wanted to go back over. And my command at the time really didn't have too much of an idea of what was going on medically with me.
Right.
And just I left 28 days after I got back.
And went back to Iraq?
Yes. Yes, sir.
And where did you go this time?
I was attached to the 13th MEW, and we actually went to a few countries as, you know, port visits before we went into a five-month deployment into TQ Iraq.
How do you spell that?
I'm not exactly sure. Do you have a Tatum?
Just give me a couple. Close.
It's called Tecatum. They used to call it TQ.
Okay, I'll find it. I can find it.
Okay, good.
And then, this next five-month deployment, you were, again, a radio operator?
Yes. Actually, I was a radio operator for a few weeks before they pulled me to do a group called EOD Security
mm-hmm.
for Explosive Ordnance Disposal. I was their female searcher on the security detachment. So I actually, luckily, I got pulled from my MOS at that time. I was still doing a little bit of it on the convoys, being a field radio operator, but my main job was to be a female searcher.
So what does that mean, a female searcher? You do what?
Well, you know, there's code of conduct over there, and their women does not like to be touched by, you know, other men.
So that's why you check the women in.
Exactly. Yes.
Wow. So, Ashley, this is amazing. So you do this for five months, and then what?
And then
all this time, are you still having, like, headaches and all this kind of stuff?
I am, and it was actually really starting to play a big role because I was having a lot of trouble remembering mm-hmm. things that I could have done, you know, blindfolded on my, you know, my radio systems. And,
right.
You know, the guys were kind of, you know, not really getting on me, but they were trying to help me out and figure out
right.
what was wrong because I was so
right.
busy thinking nothing was wrong when
right.
I knew something was wrong. So I didn't really work on the radios too much. It was my
right.
main job, just field security. And I really got my PTSD really kicked it up that deployment.
Uh-huh.
Just because of, you know, it was our job to go to the site before
uh-huh.
When the IED is detected, and it's our job to go there after it went off, and unfortunately, you know, we lost 13 Marines at deployment, so, and I was there for just about every single one of them.
Ashley, how, after you've gone through this traumatic experience yourself, then to go to other where there's been explosions or other Marines killed or people injured, isn't that all playing on your mind, or how do you, I'm wondering if you already got that seed planted in your head and then have all this. It's like you're getting a flash forward of it each time you see one of these events.
Well, for me, I think that it was mostly suppressed during the time. I mean, I'm not saying it didn't affect me because it
right.
surely did, but I didn't feel the effects until about a month after I got back from that deployment. Is when it really kind of all settled down and hit me. I think the adrenaline slowed down, and
uh-huh.
although there was no need to suppress anymore. There was no need to put your feelings aside and think about the mission at hand.
And so then when you get back here, what do you finally start to get some treatment for this, or what happens?
I did. I started getting heavily into the concussion clinic. They had wanted to send me to the Wounded Warrior Battalion then,
uh-huh.
but I decided to stay with my unit because I always thought that I would be a 20-year Marine. I really
uh-huh.
wanted to stay in the Marine Corps and really, you know, fulfill my my obligations and go the full 20 years, but it just wasn't in my cards for me. I have a lot of trouble memorizing and learning new stuff, and my job is very high in demand, and it's very I'm looking for the right word. It's
demanding,
it's very, you know, technically demanding, and there's always something new to learn, and I have a lot of trouble still learning new things and kind of keeping them in my mind. I can learn them, but it's the keeping them in my mind that's the hard part.
So are you now active or retired Marine?
I'm still active duty.
I'm wondering if, like, this, a lot of times I've known, like, or not a lot of times I've known, but sometimes I've known, like, people that try to suppress this thing, I mean, they really get depressed, or they have bouts of depression, and just, I mean, was all that stuff going on with you as well?
Unfortunately, yes, I went through a lot of depression. I got put on a lot of meds that made me gain weight, and thinking about my friends that we lost, and I think the Wounded Warrior Battalion and this program has really helped me pull everything together and realize that I feel blessed, not upset about anything. I feel very blessed to be here, and I feel very blessed to have been in the presence of the Marines over the years that I've been in the presence of. And this program, these Warrior Games and the Warrior Game training and being around other Wounded Warriors has really kind of put all the pieces and puzzles together for me, and everybody's just really supportive here, and we've all been through something.
Right.
So it helps to be around other injured Marines.
When did you get into Wounded Warriors? When did you finally join this?
I had always been a small part of Wounded Warriors. I had had a case manager over there, and they kept me involved since 2008.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually got moved to the Wounded Warrior Battalion in December of last year.
Now, all right, it's one thing to be in the battalion, but then what finally convinced you to be an athlete again, or to try an athlete? I mean, did somebody convince you, and were you hesitant at first, and then what was it like the first time you went out and competed?
Well, they kind of announced it to all of us at the battalion the trials for the Warrior Games was coming up, and they let us know that it would be a bunch of people trying out to be a part of this Warrior Games team, and I had heard nothing but good things about it last year, and I think I'd always wanted an excuse to kind of get back into physical activity, and I got cleared last July to actually start PTing again, because I was not allowed to PT at all before that because of an issue with a blackout issue, but I'd always wanted a reason to kind of get together with other people and have somebody push me while I push them to get back into to the physical activity, so this was my excuse, and it all worked out great. They announced it, and I decided that I was just gonna go for it. And I'd always enjoyed throwing, and I definitely wanted to sign up for a throwing sport, and that kind of led to we need the females to do swimming. So I fulfilled that obligation and went from there.
Did you ever swim much before or not?
I had actually never swam a full-length pool until the Marine Corps trials, which was in February.
Really?
Yeah, so that's why I was so excited. I mean, I might not have medaled, but I was pretty excited. I beat my personal time, and you know, I outswam two other girls that had swam before, so I was pretty excited.
You swam what events did you swim?
I swam the 50 backstroke, and I also swam the 50 freestyle, but I didn't swim that for the actual finals. I only swim that for the prelims, the 50 freestyle.
And the backstroke, did you make it to the finals or not?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And is this whole games, I mean, what was it like? Is it like the Olympics where you, like, march in, there's an opening ceremony and things like that? And
There was. It was very nice. We each service marched in together, and we had the passing of the torch ceremony, and the most recent Medal of Honor winner was actually he actually lit the torch and started the game.
What did it feel like to come into the arena there, and you're in with not only all your other fellow Marines, but you know, all the other branches of the service, and you're all coming in, and you, I don't know if you feel the sense of camaraderie, there's people. I think it would just be this sense of pride, or I don't know what feelings washed over you when you first came into the stadium and stuff.
Well, I kind of felt like I had so much pride in my heart, it could just burst. I had a small American flag in my hand, and it just really meant a lot. And that was actually the first time I got to see my family since we've been here. They were all waiting for us to march through. And I think it was probably one of the best feelings I've ever felt in my entire life.
You spotted your mom and sister right off?
Well, they were down a little bit far in the crowd. The crowd was pretty much lined up along the sidewalk as we were walking. So, but I did, they stepped out right in time to see me because I was in the front, the second line. So it was pretty easy to spot them.
So when you saw them, I mean, I don't know, were you tearful or laughing or what, you know, what just came over you?
Well, I had tears in my eyes and a smile on my face, so it was pretty emotional. My mom was crying, and she was just really proud of me to actually get back into something active again. So
when you left for the Marines, I mean, was your mom and your family, were they excited for you or were they nervous for you or...?
I think that they were really nervous. My mom was really happy that I was, you know, going in a position. I'm not necessarily sure they wanted me to join the Marine Corps.
Right.
You know, I think everything worked out here, and now they couldn't be prouder.
Right. Do you ever get back to Dayton very often, or is, no, Dayton's in your rearview mirrors, you're way beyond that, or no, this is still home, or?
It is still home. I come back probably once or twice a year. I try to. It's very expensive and very hard to get home, but I try to get there as often as possible, but it'll always be home to me.
You're stationed where now?
I'm stationed in Camp Pendleton, California.
And what's your dreams? What's your immediate plans, and then what's your long-range dreams here?
My immediate plans is really just to keep active and hopefully get in better shape to make the team next year.
Mm-hmm.
And to come back even stronger, especially in swimming. And I would say long-term goals would definitely. I'm on my way out of the Marine Corps this year. I should be retired this year, but I would say just, you know, go and be a full-time student and take care of my daughter and really and get a degree and get something that I never thought I could do. It's a very slow process for me, but I'm in school now, so.
Well, you are where?
At Central Texas College.
Central Texas College?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an online school.
Online, okay. And what are you studying?
I'm really, right now, I'm just getting my AA in general ed.
Uh-huh. And how old is your daughter?
She's 19 months. I'm sorry, 20 months.
20 months. And what's her name?
Her name's Adriana.
How do you spell that?
Adriana.
And you're raising her on your own?
No, I'm married. My husband's name is Pablo, Pablo.
Uh-huh. What's his last name?
Chavez.
Oh, Chavez. What was your maiden name then?
My maiden name was Eisler. It's spelled E-I.
E-I.
Yes, S-S-L-E-R.
E-I-S-S-L-E-R. So that's how people back here know you as, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, is Pablo, is he a Marine also, or?
Yes, he's also active duty.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
Now, is he here, or is he deployed, or?
He's here right now. He's getting ready to go to parachute rigger school, so.
So has he ever been deployed, or no?
Yes, he's been deployed as well.
And where, to Iraq, or?
He was with the 13th Mule. They were actually on the ship that did the piracy.
Oh,
when
really?
We kept the pirates and saved the captain, he was on that ship.
Well, all right. Well, you, oh, my goodness. Listen, if I want to, I just got about three questions here yet. If I want to, back here, since I'm writing this for next Sunday and make this story a little bigger, if I want to talk to your mom, will she be back in Dayton, do you know, or?
Yes, she leaves on Sunday.
What's, so give me a phone number I can reach her back here.
Okay, it's 937.
Uh-huh.
620.
Uh-huh.
8658.
give her a heads up that I'll call her during the week and talk to her a little bit. If during the week, if I have a question, is there a way I can get a hold of you as well?
Yes.
Give me a number for you, too.
Okay, it's 760.
Uh-huh.
468.
Uh-huh. 5138. Now you're getting ready to leave these games. What's the best memories you're going to take home from these games, probably?
Really just watching everybody compete. It's something magical to watch an amputee jump off the swimming blocks or to watch a double amputee run again. There's something magical about that feeling that you get when you watch your fellow teammates just really give it all they got, and I don't think I'll ever be able to forget that.
And so, I mean, it sounds like you got the fever enough in this now. I mean, you want to come back next year and compete. This is going to be something that you're going to do again and again?
I do. I would love to compete again next year. I don't think I can picture my life without, training for this again.
How old are you? You're still a pretty young gal, right?
Yeah, I'm still pretty young. I'll be 26 next month.
26? Yeah. Think of the last, 6 years or something. You've really done, your life has really gone on a roller coaster, huh?
It has. It has very much.
Is it? Looking back now, you're glad you joined the Marines?
I am. I wouldn't change anything at all.
What would you have done if you hadn't gone to the service? You would have what, just stayed here and worked a job, or I don't know if it's changed you as a person?
I'm almost afraid of what my life would have been like if I hadn't have done this.
Really?
Yeah, I see all my friends, and a lot of them, just sit back in the same routine, and I think, for me especially, I think it was just getting up and out of Dayton for a little while and kind of experiencing life on my own has really changed me as a person.
Ashley, you think if I would have known you as the girl at Stebbins or the girl working at in Englewood there as a reception, and I see this person now, you're a lot different person than you were, or I don't know if I would notice it or not, or...
I think people would have expected me to go into the military, but I don't think people would expect me to be as strong as I am now.
Yeah, have you ever surprised... I mean, some people... If they would have gone through all this, they might have just curled up in a ball and just kind of given up on it. I don't know. What gave you the backbone?
I think so. I think being a Marine definitely made me a strong person all the way around. I don't think that, I think every Marine would be able to handle what we've been through. We're trained to go through hardships and you have to stay strong for your fellow Marines, especially as a higher NCO.
Just give me, and I'll just hold you a couple minutes here yet. Just tell me, give me a little more on the day you were injured. What memories stick out in your brain, either beforehand, like how the day was going, or what you guys were actually doing, your job, and then just so I can make this story really come to life here.
Okay, well, the only thing really, I don't really remember too much about that night, but the only thing I really remember was I was listening to a Jars of Clay song on my iPod, which is weird because it was the only Christian song on my iPod, and I think we were actually blessed that night just because it was the only time we'd ever taken a chaplain on a convoy, and the only thing I really remember is the strong flash of light. It was almost like a flame. It kind of went up in front of me, and then I don't remember anything after that.
So this happened at nighttime?
Yes. It was dark.
You after this, so you're knocked out, and then they take you out and take you back. They take you back to where?
They took me back to Camp Fallujah to get some sleep. Most that night, I really don't remember. I actually got an award. I got a certificate of commendation that day for calling in the 9-line. And that's my job as a field radio operator is to call in the 9-line to call for help and to call in and report the incident. And I did it, and I don't remember doing it.
You did this. You mean after the blast went off, you called in?
Yes.
And then you passed out?
No. After the blast went off, it was after I came to on the ground.
Okay,
but,
all right. You got knocked out. Then you come to, you go back to doing your job?
Yes.
Wow.
But I don't remember it. I didn't even realize that I did that until I got the award, and I told my staff sergeant, I was like, I didn't do that, and he was like, yes, you did, because I was standing right behind you. So that was kind of cool. I don't remember doing that.
What was your job like, too, then, when you said, when you went out and, like, searched the women and all? You went out, this job was what, when there was, just tell me exactly what you were doing then.
Well, for the EOD? Or
yeah.
The supply convoy?
For both. Tell me each one.
My first deployment, my job was a field radio operator.
Right.
It was my job to keep all the convoy in line and keep them all, you know, on the radio together and make sure we all stayed together. So that was pretty much my job, the first deployment.
That was up till the, you even kept doing that after the explosion, right?
Right.
Then the second time you come back, your job is?
It's basically just to search the females, and whenever, you know, it's right 360 security for the EOD team as they went out and assessed the situation, depending on where the IEDs were and if it was going to be, like, a controlled detonation or really in any situation. It was my job to get out of the vehicle and set up a 360 security around our EOD team just to make sure that they were safe.
Your team would be called out after an explosive device had been discovered?
Discovered or went off.
Discovered or went off, and then you would get out, and then you would search any female people that were there?
Yes.
Flash all your memories back. I mean, how was it like to go back, like, say if there's an explosion just went off and they bring you in? I don't know if that, does that trigger back memories of your own deal or not, or you?
It did a lot, but I, like I said, I think, you know, you suppress those, you try and suppress as much as possible just to get the job done. It would be selfish for me to put my own feelings ahead of the mission at hand.
What was it like when you have to search an Iraqi woman? I mean, is everybody pissed off at you, or, you know, I don't know what this is like. I mean, I'm sure they're ticked off at you, or people are, you know, what was your job like?
The Iraqi people were actually very great. They
uh-huh.
they understood what was going on, and they were actually amazing people to be in the presence of. And I'm getting told now that I have about 5 to 10 minutes to answer any more questions.
Okay, I'll just hold you for just a second. Where am I talking to you? You're still at the competition, or where are you?
Yes, I'm still at the Olympic Training Center.
So what's left on the, is the all event done, or is there anything that wraps up the day, or is everything over?
We the Marines are actually playing in the gold medal volleyball game tonight against the Army, so we're pretty
mm-hmm.
excited about that because our volleyball team is amazing.
Hey, when you got the bronze, I mean, is it where you go up on a podium and the whole thing like that?
Yes.
So what are you going to do with your bronze medal?
I'm going to frame it, actually. I have all my medals from the trials, and then I'm going to frame this one.
You won how many medals in the trials?
Seven.
Seven in the trials, wow. And now this one. And this will go up, what, in your home or something like that?
Yes, maybe a large shadow box.
Okay. Listen, I'll let you, that phone number you gave me, would I be able to reach you sometime during the week?
Yes, sir.
What's the best time to call you during the week? If I wanted to talk to you, say, for about 15 minutes or so, what's the best time?
It doesn't really matter. I'm on Pacific Coast time, but anytime before 9 a.m.
Anytime after 9 a.m., you say? Okay. All right. I'll let you go. Give your mom a heads up that I'll give her a call, and congratulations, okay?
Okay. And